I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's May 17th, and we have a lot to talk about. And one of the things that we talk about often is the high cost of MS medications, what I'll call the outrageously high cost of MS medications. When my wife was diagnosed with MS in 1997, there were three FDA-approved MS medications available. The cost of her medication was about $9,000 a year. We thought that was high. Well, today, there are more than 20 FDA-approved MS medications available, including the medication that my wife was on in 1997. But today, the price for that same medication is $110,000. Now, there is absolutely no reasonable justification for this price escalation of a drug that's been around for 2.5 decades. It flies in the face of everything we know about how market conditions are supposed to influence the price of anything we buy. Think about it. When you look at any product category and you see that there are very few products available in that category, you expect to see high prices. But as competitors come into the market and that category begins to fill up with other options, we typically see prices begin to come down. And as new products are introduced, products that do more and do the job better, we expect that the prices for those original, lesser products to fall even more. That pricing paradigm works in almost every product category you can think of, except prescription medications, where there is no apparent rhyme nor reason, no justification for seeing a drug that's been on the market since the 1990s experience more than a 1,000% increase in price today. And while we're seeing those kinds of price increases for MS medications, what we're not seeing are any out-of-pocket spending caps for people living with MS who are covered by Medicare. That means that the most financially vulnerable, these are people with MS who have been declared 100% disabled by the Social Security Administration, or those who are age 65 and older. These are the folks who are being forced to pay more and more in out-of-pocket expense each year for medication they desperately need. That's why I'm always proud to participate in the National MS Society's advocacy efforts. This situation is so appalling that it feels like an issue that shouldn't have any political pushback, no matter which side of the aisle our legislators happen to be sitting on. I can't believe anyone in government wants to see people living with chronic illness having to choose between paying for their medications or buying food for their family. No one wants to see people living with chronic illness stopping their medication so that they can pay their rent or their mortgage. Yet here we are. And that's why when it comes to prescription drug prices, we have to keep talking truth to power. Congress has been having the conversation about bringing some sanity to prescription drug pricing for decades, and we may be seeing a glimmer of light at the end of this very long tunnel. This past March, Stephanie Stern, the MS Society's Vice President of Advocacy, testified before the Senate Finance Committee about how prescription drug prices are impacting people affected by MS. Stephanie is joining me today to talk about how her family has been affected by the constantly rising price of MS medications and to give us a read on what may be on the collective minds of Congress. But before we get to my conversation with Stephanie Stern, there are a few other things that you should know about. You may remember that back in January, a Harvard University research team shared evidence showing that the Epstein-Barr virus triggered multiple sclerosis. This announcement received a tremendous amount of media coverage, and if you happen to miss it, you can catch up on the details by listening to episodes number 239 and number 241 of Real Talk MS, and you'll find a link to those episodes in today's show notes. But the follow-on news to that announcement is that the National Institutes of Health announced a Phase 1 clinical trial to study an investigational Epstein-Barr virus vaccine. In this early stage study, 40 participants will be followed for between 18 and 30 months in a study that's expected to last 4 years. During the trial, the participants will receive 3 injections of this nanoparticle vaccine, followed by 30 to 60 minutes of observation. Now, that initial dose will be given at the start of the trial, the second dose will be administered 30 days later, and the third dose of the vaccine will be given at the 180-day mark. Experts have hypothesized that preventing the Epstein-Barr virus will prevent MS in the great majority of people who are likely to otherwise develop it. So this clinical trial is a small initial step in what you'd have to consider a very encouraging direction. We'll keep you updated on news about this trial and other efforts to prevent the Epstein-Barr virus. Fatigue affects 80% of the people who are living with MS, and I think a lot of those people would consider fatigue to be one of the most bothersome symptoms of MS because it's one of those symptoms that just keeps you from fully engaging in life. Fatigue is also one of the main causes for early withdrawal from the workforce, which means that in addition to affecting you physically and shutting you down for the day, fatigue can also carry a very high financial penalty. Currently, there isn't a treatment that's been shown to be effective in mitigating MS-related fatigue, but that could eventually change as a result of some newly published research. A research team in Sweden has found that people with MS who experience fatigue have a lower level of a particular molecule in their cerebrospinal fluid. Now, cerebrospinal fluid is the fluid that surrounds the brain and spinal cord, and this molecule, called amyloid precursor protein, or APP, is involved in nerve cell function. This study was designed to find an objective biomarker that separates MS-related fatigue from fatigue caused by other factors, and in the study, the team discovered that people with MS-related fatigue had lower levels of this molecule, APP, compared to healthy people, and even compared to people who were living with MS but not experiencing MS-related fatigue. This was a small study involving 31 people living with MS and 17 healthy people. So additional studies will have to confirm these findings and then begin to explore the underlying mechanisms to understand why or how people experiencing MS-related fatigue have this low level of APP. And that's when things can get really exciting, because if scientists can understand that mechanism, they can develop a means of suppressing it. So those low levels of APP don't develop, and MS-related fatigue becomes a very manageable symptom. Now, this is only the beginning of a very long road ahead, but it's encouraging to see science unmasking the culprits behind some of the most troubling MS symptoms, like fatigue. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. While we're waiting for science to make further headway in better understanding MS fatigue, that doesn't mean there aren't evidence-based interventions available today. A research team at Melbourne School of Population and Global Health in Australia evaluated the effect of several different stress-reducing activities on depression, fatigue, and mastery among people with MS. While you're probably well acquainted with depression and fatigue, mastery may be a new concept for some of you. So, mastery describes feeling that you have a greater sense of control over the circumstances in your life, which is a pretty empowering feeling. So the research team analyzed self-reported data from 774 people living with MS. This information was updated and evaluated every 2.5 years, and the researchers focused on comparing the data at the 2.5-year mark, and then again after 7.5 years. They found that after 7.5 years, there was a 40% decline in depression among the study participants who used physical activities to reduce stress. Physical activities included exercise, participating in sports or dance. Depression was reduced by 23% among the study participants who used relaxation activities. And these relaxation activities included things like art, music, hobbies, and even massage. And depression was reduced by 30% among the study participants who used mind-body activities like Pilates, yoga, Tai Chi, and meditation to best manage stress. After 7.5 years, the study participants who involved themselves in physical activities as a stress reducer the year before were also 19% less likely to experience fatigue. Those study participants who used meditation as a stress reducer were 17% more likely to experience greater mastery. And study participants who practiced meditation only once a week for just a few minutes still experienced benefits in reducing depression and fatigue. So while you're waiting for an effective pharmaceutical approach to managing both fatigue and depression, you may want to add physical activities as you're able, or meditation to your symptom management toolbox. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. A significant amount of research shows a direct correlation between starting MS medications early and experiencing less disability progression. And a research team in Sweden wanted to measure the impact of starting MS medications early, not on disability progression, but on finances. In other words, given the fact that starting MS medications early can mean less disability progression, does that mean that people who start those medications early can stay in the workforce longer? Since Sweden's healthcare system provides detailed, accurate data on everyone being treated for MS in Sweden, the research team was able to analyze data for everyone with relapsing remitting MS between the ages of 27 and 50 who received their first MS medication between the years 2006 and 2009. The team looked at data for 8 years following the date that MS medications were started, and they compared loss in worker productivity due to absence or filing for disability pension. Looking at people who started their MS medication within 6 months of being diagnosed and comparing them with people who started their MS medication after 6 months of being diagnosed, the team concluded that while both groups had similar healthcare costs, the people who started their MS medication within 6 months of being diagnosed had lower productivity losses over time. So perhaps we have one more very good reason to begin MS medications early. Based upon the evidence in this study, you're less likely to miss work and less likely to go out on disability, which means the economics of starting MS medications early clearly work in your favor. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. By now, there is more than enough evidence to show that starting MS medications early delivers multiple benefits. The trick seems to be affording those medications, even with good health insurance. This is a fundamental challenge for people living with MS and people living with any other chronic illness. In the United States, prescription drugs cost too much. My guest today is Stephanie Stern. Stephanie is the Vice President of Advocacy at the National MS Society. And recently, Stephanie testified before the Senate Finance Committee, educating Congress about the challenge that every person affected by MS faces when it comes to having access to affordable medications. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Stephanie Stern. MS medications cost too much in the United States, with the price tag of some of those FDA-approved medications exceeding $100,000 a year. Medicare won't cover the entire cost, nor will most health insurance plans. And to add financial insult to financial injury, we see those prices continue to increase year after year. All of this has real-world consequences, with some people living with MS choosing to under-medicate, make trade-offs between buying food or paying for their MS medication, or simply stop taking their medication altogether. None of these scenarios should be acceptable to anyone, and they each lead to unnecessarily accelerating disease progression and causing greater harm and disability down the road. We have to do better. Joining me to talk about how the high cost of MS medications effectively limits access to those medications for the people who need them most is the Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society, Stephanie Stern. Welcome to the podcast, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me, John. It's great to be with you.
Aside from your role in the MS Society, you also have a personal connection to this issue. Can you tell me about that?
I do have a personal connection. My mom lives with MS. She was diagnosed 41 years ago when I was a year old. So now I just told you my age. she has lived with MS nearly my whole life. And I always say it has affected my life in every way, my family's life in every way. But it led me to seek a job with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And I think in a lot of ways it led me to a career in advocacy, trying to change the system and change the world to make it better for people living with MS, like my mom.
The MS Society conducted a survey that looked at how people with MS have actually altered their use of their MS medications. Tell me a little bit about what those survey results showed.
Sure. So the big headline from that survey was that 40% of people living with MS have altered the use of their disease-modifying therapy. And that means skipping a dose or going off their medication entirely or making other changes, making other decisions that are really tough for people living with MS. We also found that people are making a lot of sacrifices to afford their medications. Again, similarly, around 40% of people have made difficult sacrifices to be able to access their meds. And we know that the disease-modifying therapy is such a core component of care for people with lots of different forms of MS. We know that it's strongly recommended for people, especially with relapsing forms of MS, to help manage and treat the course of their disease and prevent disease progression. So these survey findings were really upsetting and unsettling for all of us. And I'm sure that for your listeners, it's hard to hear that too. And we hear every day from people with MS all across the country that these survey results are accurate. They're telling us their stories that, you know, they're making tough choices like, you know, spending less on needed items like groceries and, you know, going out to eat and also making bigger decisions like delaying their retirement or taking on another job. And again, they're making choices that potentially affect their healthcare outcomes. I always think about, there's an MS activist where I live in Minnesota, Bob Miller, and he has had to make the choice to go off of his MS medication because of the cost. And he relies on Medicare for his insurance coverage. And he always says to me, he feels like he is rolling the dice every day and gambling with his own health.
The issue of the unreasonable cost of prescription medications in the United States is an issue that's been debated literally for decades. How do we fix it?
Oh, that's a big question. So the National MS Society, we believe that this is a complicated problem and it will require complex solutions and many different solutions affecting stakeholders all across the prescription drug supply chain. So, you know, we know this is a complex system with lots of players, right? So you've got not only the drug companies, but you have roles played by the health plans, the insurance companies, the pharmacy benefit managers, you know, the federal government, your healthcare provider, and, you know, the individual living with MS, the patient. We have identified potential solutions to address drug pricing that would require systemic change for every one of these players, except for the patient. We leave the person with MS out of it. They are stuck in the middle a lot of times in a tug of war between these different actors. And we want to make this whole system work better for them and make it easier to navigate. I could talk to you all day about how we could potentially solve this problem. I will say that right now we are narrowly honed in on three specific things that Congress could do. And you probably have heard a lot about, you know, Congress has been thinking about drug pricing for a long time, but in the last couple of years, through their debate around the Build Back Better Act, they have talked specifically around what can we do for people enrolled in Medicare, because we know that there are a lot of problems people in Medicare are facing. And, you know, elected leaders hear about this every time they go back to their district. They hear from people who are enrolled in Medicare and they say, I cannot afford my medications. And this is not just people with MS. It's people with lots of different chronic health conditions. And some of them are seniors. Some of them are people with disabilities. So we are telling Congress that they haven't passed the Build Back Better Act yet, which has some of these drug pricing components. That bill looks like it's floundering, but Congress has the ability to act. I mean, really right now, in the next couple of months, they need to act before they adjourn to go campaign for the midterm elections. And what we are telling them to do is we've identified three pieces of that legislation that are potentially very high impact for people living with MS. One is trying to address the out-of-pocket costs for people on Medicare. So people who are living with MS on Medicare, on average, their out-of-pocket cost just for their MS med is around $7,000. So we are asking for that amount to be lowered. We want Congress to cap the out-of-pocket costs for people on Medicare. Congress has been debating around $2,000 as a cap or $3,000 as a cap, both of which are much better than the situation right now. You may know there is currently no cap. There's no cap on how much you're paying out of your pocket for your medications when you're on Medicare. We're also asking for that cost to be smoothed, they call it smoothing, over the course of the year. You probably have heard stories of people who end up having to pay a huge amount of money right up front at the beginning of the year for their medications, especially the disease-modifying therapy. We're asking for that amount to be spread evenly throughout the course of the 12 months so people can afford it month to month. And we think those two pieces in and of itself would be a huge sea change for people living with MS. Quality of life would be greatly affected. But we know that just capping the amount that people pay out of pocket is not enough. We have to also actually address the high cost of the MS medications. And you rightly pointed out, these are so expensive and people have to bear these costs year after year. So we are asking for Congress to allow the federal government to negotiate prices for the Medicare program on behalf of Medicare beneficiaries. Right now, Medicare does not have the authority to negotiate prices. And we are also asking Congress to implement, they call it inflationary rebate, which is a very wonky term, but it basically just means that drug prices would not be allowed to go up in price year after year higher than the rate of inflation. So we're trying to just limit the amount that MS medications are going up year after year, and all medications, because we know, as you have pointed out, these medications, the one that my mom was on in 1995, that specific medication was around, I think it was around $10,000 at that point, and it's $111,000 a year right now. And that's just not sustainable. So we're asking for Congress to take action. And this is not going to solve the entire problem of drug pricing. I think you can tell in my voice that it's just a big problem to solve. But these are pieces that would have a real life concrete impact.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I should mention that this past March, you went to Congress and testified about this issue before the Senate Finance Committee.
I did.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was an amazing experience. It was very intense, but very rewarding. So, you know, you were part of this movement, but MS activists have been asking Congress to do something about drug pricing for years. So we've been having meetings with members of Congress in DC and then also in their district offices. We've been, you know, going in there with our charts showing the average prices of the meds and showing how they're going up over time. And we've been making noise, raising awareness for years. And this was like kind of a breakthrough moment you know, you've probably seen in the news a lot of hearings on the Capitol Hill around the cost of insulin, which is a really huge problem. It's just crushing, right? People who can't get their insulin, it's life or death. But there have not been a lot of hearings focused on other disease states. So they, again, after years of telling this committee and other committees what's going on, we got an invite to testify on behalf of people with MS and to explain what's going on with the MS medications. And so it was a huge honor for me to get the invite specifically. They invited me, again, because of my personal connection, because my mom is one of the people who has really struggled to access her medications. So I was invited to really to represent her, to tell her story. And it was really cool. The chair of the committee had a phone call with my mom, Joanne, 2 days before the hearing. And he asked her a lot of questions about her personal experience. And then it just really made an impact on him. So throughout the hearing, the chair of the committee, Ron Wyden from Oregon, was referencing my mom's story and quoting her and just kind of bringing, he really seemed to want to bring her real life experience into that hearing room. And then other senators were referencing her story and the stories of people with MS. I think I had really short snippets of like 7 stories in my testimony. It was amazing. I will say it was anxiety inducing. I did my 5-minute testimony and then that was all prepared. And then I sat there for 2 hours and took questions from the panel. And you just never know what questions you're going to get. So that was intimidating. But I, you know, had a lot of, I think, evidence and good, like real life examples and stories that I was able to present in response to some of those questions. And overall, I think it was a great hearing. It was well received on Capitol Hill. And now we're trying to continue to like build on that momentum. We had public policy conference. And then the day after public policy conference, I was invited to testify. And then we had that hearing next week. And we've just been trying not to lose momentum. We've been keeping up the drumbeat ever since.
Well, I thought you were absolutely magnificent in testifying, not only in what you said, but how you said it and how you conducted yourself. I'm not surprised that the committee chair was so moved by your mom's story. You know, when you were kind of breaking down all of the stakeholders in the prescription drug continuum, I'll say. I listened. I heard you mention certainly the manufacturers. You mentioned the pharmacy benefit managers. You mentioned the healthcare systems, the insurance companies. The only people are the patients. All those other entities are these amorphous organizations that seem to exist, but the people who actually feel the consequences of the activities of every other stakeholder in that continuum are the people who are living with MS and other chronic illnesses. And so I think those stories are important. I think that they remind everyone of the human consequences of their decisions. So I'm glad you mentioned several people during your testimony and what they were going through beyond just your mom's story. I believe that our words have power. I'm an MS activist who also believes that to create change, our words have to lead to action. Right now, you and I are talking to a few thousand people who are affected by MS. Is there anything each of us can do to move the needle on this issue?
Oh, that's my favorite question. And thank you, by the way, for your kind words about my testimony. I appreciate that. So we have a campaign, like a mini site now on the MS Society's website, where you can click and you can find a lot of different ways to take action on drug pricing and to raise your voice. And they range from the, you know, pretty minimal in terms of effort to, you know, more effort. So I think there's something for everyone there. You can pick what feels right for you. You know, you can send an email. You can, you know, that's just click through and send an email and it's pretty easy. You personalize it, tell your story a little bit, but it just takes a couple of minutes. You can do something a little more involved, like tweet at your member of Congress, your senator. You can, again, make that personal with your story. Some people are making a little video of themselves, a short video, talking about why access to MS medications as an issue is so important to them. And they're tweeting that out or sending that to their elected officials. We have instructions on how to do that and some an example video from the Digmans, that some great MS activists from Michigan. I'm sure you know them, John. And there's just a lot of opportunities that you can do written stuff, like write a letter to the editor or, you know, make a call, whatever is easiest for you. And we can get contact information out for people if they want, if they're listening and they say, I wanna talk to somebody about what might be the best fit for me. But really, it's just contact your elected officials in Congress in support of these those reforms that I talked about earlier. And again, it's about being, you know, being your authentic self and just telling why you care about this and how this affects you. If you've had to make any sacrifices to afford your medication, or if you know anyone who has, or if you just think it shouldn't be like this for people with MS, everybody's got something to say and an important, something important to convey. So we try to make it easy. And you're right. It's just the people reaching out. That is what moves the needle. That's why you and I are engaged as activists, because it's the tool that we have is people telling their stories, raising their voices, and specifically, you know, connecting with their members of Congress.
So I'm going to be sure to include a link to that mini site. Hopefully everyone who's listening can find something that's in their comfort zone. Everybody gets to be an MS activist when it comes to this issue. It is just so important. Stephanie Stern, I can't thank you enough for all the work you and your team do every day to improve the lives of people who are affected by MS. And thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you for the work that you do, John, getting our message out and just giving people ways to raise their voices. And we really hope that the experience is empowering for everyone. I appreciate the chance to be with you today.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/246. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.